Morning. Today's daf in Makos is Yotes. We are in Yud Ches Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Continuing from yesterday's discussion, we're talking about Bikurim. Bikurim becomes a topic of discussion in Makos. It's a funny place to discuss Bikurim, but we're in the third parak of Makos. We're talking about someone who's subject to Makos, and the Mishnah is telling us some Chidushim, and one of the Chidushim of the Mishnah is that if you bring Bikurim, but you fail to do the Kriya, so that is considered now incomplete, and the Kohen's not allowed to eat the Bikurim. In fact, it's the Kriya's Ma'akiv, according to our Mishnah. And so the Kohen now who eats those Bikurim is subject to Malkus, because the Bikurim have not been brought. Meaning, because the definition of being brought means that have to be Munach, has to be placed in front of the Mizbech, and you have to do Kriya as well. There's a Parsha to say, mentioned in the beginning of Parsha's Kisavo, and that Kriya's Ma'akiv. At least that's according to the opinion of our Mishnah. Rav Yochanan made a statement, and Rav Yochanan seems to be vacillating on two points. He seems to be vacillating on the points of Kriya, which the Gemara yesterday pointed out. It's a Machlokas Tanayim, and the Rav Yochanan, the two statements of Rav Yochanan were just simply reflecting the two opinions amongst the Tanayim. In other words, he wasn't making halachic statements, so he was wavering between these two opinions. And in terms of Hanacha as well, so the Gemara now is going to point out that that also is not going to be a problem as well. Meaning, as we're going to see, there is an opinion reflected, as we're going to see in just a moment, that Hanacha is also not going to be Ma'akev, and so therefore it's a mitzvah for sure, but it's not Ma'akev. So the Gemara now is making exactly that point, and this is where we left off yesterday, and this is where we're picking it up. Hanacha, Hanacha, Namelo Kasha. So we're on Yud Ches Amud Beis, we're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and the Gemara now is also answering up for Hanacha of the Bikurim. So it's not difficult, says the Gemara, have Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, it's just simply reflective of Machlokas Tanaim, Machlokas reviewed on the Chacham, and my Rabbi Yehuda Ditanya. The Gemara introduces us to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. V'hinachto zutanufa. Now the Pasuk says twice that you have to place in front of the Mizbeach. There's a basic rule when it comes to Kachim, Shina Kosovla Akev. You're going to hear this a lot when we get to Zvachim and Menachos. And that is that when we're dealing with anything that has to do with Inyane Kachim, so the Torah, in order to make sure that we know not only that you have to do it, but failure to do it means it's incomplete, so the Torah repeats it. In other words, that's the concept of Shina Kosovla Akev. So here, when we're talking about now Bikurim, now it's interesting because Bikurim is not a classic carbon per se. But still, we're going to put it in the category of Kachim because it's brought to Yerushalayim. It's put in front of the Mizbeach. So right now, we're going to classify it as a carbon in that regard. So now, does it say the word Hanacha twice in the Torah? So according to Rav Yehuda, the answer is no, it doesn't. Now, even though it says V'hinachtu Zutanufa, so even though it does say V'hinachtu a second time in the Pasuk, but according to Rav Yehuda, that's not talking about Hanacha, that's actually talking about Tanufa. Meaning, there is a requirement to waive the Bikurim. Much like there's a requirement for us to shake lulav and esrog, melech umovi, malu morid, right, back, forth, up, down, and I know everyone has, you know, variations of, you know, the movements, but we do that with the lulav, and we do with karbanos. In fact, we just discussed it the other day, chaziv ishok, of a karban shalman we do it with, and according to Rav Yehuda, this brisa, we do it also with Bikurim as well. It says vihinachto, and he understands that to mean tanufa. Now the Gemara says, what? Well, why? Meaning, maybe v'hinachta means hanacha. It's reasonable to suggest that. But anyway, he doesn't. Now, it already says that in the Torah one time. So, the second time that it says v'hinachta, that's a reference to tanufa. Where does that bring us now? So it brings us to the point that according to Rav Yehuda, v'hinachta is not repeated in the Torah. Meaning, even though it does say it a second time, that second mention, however, is for a halach of tenufa. So therefore, it only says it one time. So one time by kachim, what does that mean? It's a mitzvah, but it's not likuva. So you see now that according to Rav Yehuda, the hanacha of the Bikurim is important. It's a mitzvah. It's not essential. It doesn't hold back the Bikurim. So the Gemara says now, who argues? Rebbe Elazar ben Rav Yaakov, and the Gemara now quotes another brisa. So the Kohen takes the basket from your hand. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, same conclusion. You do tenufa, but based on another pasuk, on the pasuk of lakacha kohen atanim yadecha, when the Kohen takes it from your hand, meaning that means to say that when you are transferring the basket from owner to Kohen, so now they're both going to have their hands on the basket, and that's when you do tenufa. So my time at the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov asa yad yad mishlamen. Now it doesn't say tenufa. So, but that he says that he has gzeir shava. Ksiv hach v'lakach ha-kohen atanem yadecho, ksiv yadav tibienu, es ishe Hashem, ma'kan kohen af lahalan kohen, ma'lahalan balam af kan balam. Now, who does the tenufa? Everybody. Everybody meaning. In the exchange of the basket, while both have their hands on the basket, so that's when the tenufa is done. Haketzad meyachon yadav tachas yidei ba'alim u'meinif. So that means that the owner has his hand physically on the basket. The Kohen is going to take his hands and put it underneath the hands of the Balaam of the owner. And the two of them are going to do tenufa together. At first it may be a little bit uncoordinated, but okay. They're going to do it. Point being now that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the halacha of tenufa is learned out from another pasuk. That means according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. How many times does it say the word vihinachto in the pasuk? It says it twice. And both times it means hanacha. That means that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, shina hakasuv la'akev. The fact that it repeats it means that it's an ikuva, it's a halacha l'ikuva. So therefore, we just now discovered a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We know hanacha is a mitzvah. Is it li'ikuva? Rav Yehuda would say no, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would say yes, it's li'ikuva. Amar Rava Barada, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bikurim. We now turn to the top of Yates Amad Aleph. Me'emasai mechayvim aleihem. At what point in the Bikurim are you chayiv? Okay, so as we have already been, as we've been discussing, Bikurim, the first fruits of the season. So I mark him, cut him off, put him in a basket, and bring him to Yerushalayim. And what we're going to do is we're going to put them in front of the Mizbeach, read the Parshat Bikurim, according to, we just learned in the Gemara, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov are also going to do Tenufa when the basket gets exchanged from your hands over to the Kohen's hand. And then it's Matnas Kahuna, meaning, and then the Kohen is entitled to eat it. And how does he eat it? He treats it like Truma, meaning it has Kedusha, Zar, and non-Kohen is not allowed to eat it. And the Gemara's question over here says Rashi, first Rashi on the Amud, is that at what point exactly does it have this Truma-like status in which a non-Kohen cannot eat it? So interestingly, it's not at the point of the plucking off the tree. It's not even the point when he puts it in the basket. It's not even at the point when he starts making his way to Yerushalayim. But when exactly does it happen that it has Truma status? So from the time that it enters into the Azara. Now the Gemara's terminology over here is Pnei HaBayis. So it doesn't mean into the physical edifice of the Beis HaMikdash, because no one goes into the physical edifice of the Beis HaMikdash, barring of course a couple of people, a couple of Kohanim. But in other words, we're talking about the Azara, we're talking about the temple courtyard. Now to be fair, the Rambam actually expands the area. The Rambam talks about the entirety of Yerushalayim. But just to stay with the Gemara and stay with Rashi and the Gemara, we're talking about entering into the Azara. So that means that when you are carrying the basket and the moment you step foot, and at the end of today's daf, we're going to talk about the actual literal point of when you step foot into the Azara with the basket. The contents of the basket now are not only Bikurim, I mean they were when you designated them, but they're Bikurim with the Truma status. And that means to say now that once you go into the Azara and a non-Kohen were to eat it from that point going forward, so he would be subject to the penalties of a non-Kohen eating Bikurim. Mishiro Paneabais. Kamanki Aitana Ditanya. Now the Gemara points out that we have a brisa supporting this as well. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Bikurim Mixasam Bechutz, Umixasam Bifnim, Shebechutz Harein Kechulon Lechol Devrayim, Shebifnim Harein Kehektish Lechol Devrayim. The brisa, the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, has a basket of Bikurim, where it's literally on the threshold, it's on the border of interior to the Azara, exterior to the Azara. And the fruit that are interior to the Azara have Kedusha, meaning it's now going to have the Truma status. The portion that is exterior to the Azara is not going to have Kedusha. Okay, now, the Gemara does not discuss this, but it is discussed in the Rishonim. What about the fact that it's all together in one basket? Isn't the basket now, isn't the basket mitzaref? It combines all the food inside so that's given one whole status. Yeah, we learned that on Shabbos also. It's a halacha in terms of hotza'ah, taking something in, taking something out. So, okay, and the Gemara does not discuss it, but the Rishonim here discuss it, and it's a worthwhile discussion, but we're going to go on.
Why doesn't designation cause
Kedusha? It causes it to get the name Bikurim, but to be imbued with the full status, you have to bring it into your shrine. Why, or I should say better, at least according to Rashi, into the Azara. Why does it take time to get that status? Meaning, why doesn't it occur immediately? I would just simply. Agreed. But again, it's a funny type of carbon. Meaning, it's not going to be offered on the mizbeach. It's given to the Kohen. Okay. Again, it's much easier. I say this often. It's much easier for me to say what than why. Okay. The what I'm good with.
Amar Rav Sheshit, Bikur Menachem Ma'akevus Behem, Kriya Ein Ma'akevus Behem. Rav Sheshit weighs in on this topic of what is essential. And Rav Sheshit says that the Hanacha is Ma'akev, but not the Kriya. Now this goes against our Mishnah, by the way. Our Mishnah told us that Kriya is Ma'akev. Our Mishnah taught us that without the Kriya, so the Kohen's not allowed to eat it. So clearly our Mishnah is of the opinion that Kriya is Ma'akev, but Rav Sheshit doesn't agree with our Mishnah, and Rav Sheshit's an Amora, so obviously he's going to need support amongst the Tanaim, which the Gemara is about to bring. So, Kiman Ki Aitana, the Gemara quotes the following Brisa. Detanya, Rabbi Yossi, Amar Shoshu Dvar, Mishum Shoshu Zakenim. Rabbi Yossi records three things that were told to him by three different elders. Now, we're not going to go through all three right now. We're only going to go through one, the one that's germane to our discussion. Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Yechul Yala, Adam, Yisr Sheni, Bezman Hazeb, Yerushalayim, Vyochlenim. Here's what I might have thought. I might have thought that I could take Yisr Sheni nowadays, meaning without the Beis HaMikdash, and I know we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but okay, bring it into Yerushalayim and eat the Yisr Sheni in Yerushalayim. Now, nowadays, it's fraught with a lot of problems. Tumah, in other words, we're all in a state of Tameh, and we don't have the Parah Adumah, and we can't be Matar ourselves, okay. But in other words, but at least principally, in theory, even though we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but bring the Yisr Sheni in Yerushalayim. And let's just consider this outside for a moment before we go on in the Gemara. Meaning, what's the main holdup? When it comes to Karbanos, the holdup is very simple. Without a Beis HaMikdash, so we just simply don't have the right equipment. Meaning, by a Karban, you need a Mizbeach. There has to be an application of the blood on the Mizbeach. There has to be an actual edifice itself. In other words, it has to be facing the Beis HaMikdash. So in other words, by Karbanos, the holdup is very simple. We're lacking the equipment. But you see, when it comes to Yisr Sheni, there's no equipment failure. Meaning, Yisr Sheni, the halach is just very simple. Bring it into Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. So, even without a Beis HaMikdash, at least in principle, it's worthwhile discussion. Now, later, I will foreshadow the Gemara's discussion coming up later on, and that is, well, does the Beis HaMikdash, or does the area of the Beis HaMikdash still have Kedusha, even though there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash? So, as you know, this is one of the more classic debates that take place throughout the Gemara. And that is whether or not Kedusha Rishon, Kishla Shaitav, Kishla Asad Lavo. Does the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash perpetuate even without a physical Beis HaMikdash there? And as you know, this is a constant machlokus that exists throughout Shas. I don't know why I think this, but the Gemara Megillah and Daf Yud is like the prime location of this discussion. It's discussed in other Masechtas as well. In fact, our Gemara here right now, today, is going to discuss it. But the Gemara Megillah discusses this extensively. Also, just one other introductory note. That when we talk about Kedusha perpetuating, there really is two discussions and may not necessarily be contingent one on the other. Meaning we are talking about right now the Kedusha of Yerushalayim in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. There's also another discussion about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and whether that perpetuates. Meaning, consider that we're talking about Yisr Sheni. Yisr Sheni obviously is an agricultural halacha. Meaning that the produce that's grown in Eretz Yisrael proper has even the status of Tevel with the requirement of Hafrashas Trumas, Yisr Risha, Yisr Sheni, etc., etc. So that's one discussion. So in other words, point A is, is it even Yisr Sheni min HaTorah? But our Gemara is really focusing on point B, which is, let's assume that it has Kedushas Yisr Sheni. Let's just assume that. Now, the requirement is for me to eat in Yerushalayim. Can I nowadays, without a Beis HaMikdash, bring it into Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim, even though Yerushalayim is bereft of the Beis HaMikdash? That's the discussion of the Gemara right now. And this is the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel. Now, just again, we're gonna lose the forest a little bit. So if I could just remind everybody, the whole reason why we're doing this is just to make one singular point that Kriya is not Ma'akev. And I know we're far away right now from the point, because right now we're not even talking about Bikurim, we're talking about Yisr Sheni. So stay with me. In other words, it is you gotta follow the points and connect the dots in order to get from where we are right now to what the Gemara wants to get to. Okay. So, Yachl, I'm gonna start this again. Yachl Yala Adam Yisr Sheni Bezman Hazeb Yerushalayim V'Yachlenu. So I might have thought that I could take now the Yisr Sheni nowadays, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, bring it to Yerushalayim, eat the Yisr Sheni in Yerushalayim, and it shouldn't be a problem. Why? Right? V'dinhu. Bechor ta'on havas makom, Yisr Sheni ta'on havas makom. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider. You know that a Bechor, firstborn animal, has Kedusha, has to be brought on the Beis HaMikdash. Can we bring it nowadays? The answer obviously is not. Now, this is an equipment failure. meaning we can't bring it nowadays because we don't have the actual physical Beis HaMikdash. So ma bechorinu ela bifnei abayis av maisreinu ela bifnei abayis. So the Gemara makes a argument, which is a little bit hard to hear, but and the Gemara is going to ask a question, but at least the argument is, well, if I can't bring bechor nowadays, so I can't also eat the maisr sheni as well. So the Gemara says, what? Mala bechor shekein tam matan damin v'yimorim legabe mizbeach. So the Gemara says, okay, what does one have to do with the other? I can't bring bechor nowadays because equipment failure. I don't have the Beis HaMikdash. I don't have a mizbeach. There's no application of the blood. Like what? It's hard to understand where the starting point of that comparison was. But bikurim yochichu. So the Gemara says, oh, I get it. So fine, you can't learn that from bechor, but we're going to learn from bikurim. Okay, same words, same letters, by the way, bechor bikurim. But obviously, two different items. So bikurim yochichu. Mala bikurim shekein teunin hanacha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you can't learn from Bikurim because that's also equipment failure. Because in order for Bikurim to be Bikurim, what do you have to do with the Bikurim? You have to place it in front of the Mizbeach. So if there's no Mizbeach, so therefore you can't bring the Bikurim nowadays as well. So Tamar Lomar, so right now, we're trying to ascertain as to whether or not we can eat Maaser Sheni Bizman Hazeh. Now I can't do Bechor, but I don't have a Beis HaMikdash. I can't do Bikurim, but I also don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So in other words, so Bechor and Bikurim are not going to be good launching points for where we can learn to Maaser Sheni. So therefore the Gemara says, Tamar Lomar, v'achalt lefnei Hashem lekecha v'chule. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Parshas Re'eh. The Torah over there lumps together. I'm reading the end of the pasuk. The Gemara doesn't quote it. But the Gemara quotes the, I'm sorry, I'm reading from the end of the pasuk. So we're lumping together a whole number of items that are eaten in Yerushalayim. And of course, in this pasuk, you have Bechor and you also have Maaser Sheni. So what is that called? It's called the Hekesh. Mekesh Maaser LeBechor. Ma Bechorinu Ela Lefnei Abayis of Maaserinu Ela Lefnei Abayis. And we know a Hekesh is solid. Hekesh is strong. Ein Meshivin Ela Hekesh. There's no questions that you ask on a Hekesh. Once the Torah combines them together in one pasuk, so now they are tied together. Just like Bechor cannot be offered without a Beis HaMikdash, Maaser Sheni cannot be eaten in Yerushalayim without a Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Now, with that brisa now under our belt, so the Gemara says, V'im Isa Lifroch Ma LeBikurim Shekein Tu Nekriya V'Anacha. And the Gemara now makes an observation. When we try to compare Maaser Sheni to Bikurim, so it says, oh, don't make that comparison. You know what? Because Bikurim, you know what you need? You need Hanacha. Why didn't the Gemara say, oh, you know what you need? You need Hanacha and Kriya. Why didn't the Braisa say that? So the Gemara now, with that small little observation, says, oh, you know why? Because the author of this Braisa does not feel that Kriya is Ma'akev. It's not essential. So the Gemara says, Amar Avashi Nehiti Kuvaleka Mitzvah Milega. So Valema Mitzvah Valifroch. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not Likuva. It's still a mitzvah. I mean, we all agree. The Torah says, you have to do it. So even if it's not Likuva, it's still a mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah, so why didn't the Braisa mention it? Meaning, and don't tell me the Braisa didn't mention it because it's not Likuva, who cares? Meaning, it's still part of the procedure. So why not mention it? So Elam Rav Ashi Kevin De'ika Bikuri Hagir Dabai Lameimar Asher Yishba Hashem Lavaseinu V'lo Mati Amar Lo Psikalei. Gemara makes a really interesting comment. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why the Braisa didn't mention Kriya. Because not everyone who's bringing Bikurim is going to be doing Kriya. Notably, convert. Convert converts to Yiddishkeit. So he's chayv in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. He's a full-fledged Jew. Full status of a Jew. But according to our Gemara, according to Rav Ashi, there's going to be a notable difference in that he's going to have the mitzvah of Bikurim, meaning he'll have land, he'll harvest, he'll bring the Bikurim, he'll put in the basket, he'll put in front of the Mizbeach. He can't read the Parsha. Why can't he read the Parsha? Why can't he do the mitzvah of Kriya? Because it says, Asher Nishba Hashem Lavaseinu. Because we make mention of our forefathers, so although he's a Jew without forefathers. And so therefore, it would be disingenuous for him to say, Asher Nishba Hashem Lavaseinu. And so therefore, according to our Gemara, he therefore doesn't say it. And because he doesn't say it, so Kriya is not done by everybody. That's why the Braisa didn't mention Kriya.
What about Shmon Esrei?
Right. Right. Now, that's the right question to ask. So now, if you go with our Gemara, it certainly sounds like anytime there's a nusach that has the word Avosenu in it, so then the ger is going to be barred from saying it. So, I mean, he can daven, he'll just, you know, it'll be an edited version. So on this point, it's really interesting. I mean, it's a really interesting discussion
So on this point, so there is a often quoted Yerushalmi. I did not look up the Yerushalmi inside. The Yerushalmi disagrees with our Gemara over here. Our Gemara in Makos Daf Yates says that a ger does not do the kriya. The Gemara Yerushalmi, again, quoted, I heard it. I didn't look it up inside. The Gemara Yerushalmi says that a ger does do the kriya. And the Yerushalmi explains, why would a ger do the kriya? Because what does it say Avosenu, our forefathers? Avraham was promised that he would be Avhamon Goyim. He would be a father to many nations. So somebody comes from another nationality and joins us, so he can still describe Avram being a forefather. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Therefore, he's allowed to say Avosenu. So, and interestingly, just add one more point to this, the Rambam rules like the Yerushalmi, not like the Bavli. Meaning that the Rambam, regarding Bikurim, meaning that when a ger brings the Bikurim, so the Rambam says he is going to say the Parsha, he is going to do the Kriya. Now, that goes against our Gemara. Our Gemara says it's not. So, it seems pretty clear that the Rambam favored the Yerushalmi over our Bavli. Okay.
Same goes for benching for women, the second
right, 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 right. Okay. So, lo psika lehad, I'm sorry. Velahad din v'tesa b'me atzad. Okay, fine. So, now we basically resolve the issue of the Braisa didn't mention Kriya, but the Gemara just basically waved it off and said, yeah, it didn't mention Kriya, but it could be for a technical reason. Okay. So now, just one more loose end to tie up regarding this Braisa. The Braisa said, I want to know the halacha regarding Maaser Sheni nowadays. Can I bring it nowadays and eat it nowadays? So the Gemara says, let's compare it to Bechor. The Gemara says, no. Let's compare it to Bikurim. The Gemara says, no. Why don't we use our classic style of methodology of using the combined Bikurim Bechor and looking at the Tzad HaShava, looking at the commonality between the two and deriving the conclusion based on the Tzad HaShava, the common denominator. That's the Gemara's question right now. So the Gemara says, even if I put the two together, I still can't conclude a Maaser Sheni. Because both of them, even as a common denominator, need the Mizbeach. Maaser Sheni simply does not need the Mizbeach. So even the Mahatzad would not have helped us. Micah suffer. And now the Gemara brings up the fundamental issue. What was the supposition of the Braisa vis-a-vis Kedushas Beis HaMikdash? Meaning we don't have the Beis HaMikdash now. Is the Kedushas Makom still there, yes or no? As I mentioned in the intro, it's a machlokas. And the Gemara now wants to know, this Braisa that's discussing this matter is going from which starting point? So, if, let's say, the Kedusha were to perpetuate, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, so as much as I'd be allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, I'd also be allowed to eat Bechor as well. What the Gemara here is saying, and I know it sounds radical, but Gemara is saying it, and Rashi says it very clearly, is that if we assume, if our starting point is that Kedushas Beis HaMikdash continues even without a physical Beis HaMikdash, you can even offer the Bechor. Now, I'll read Rashi. I mean, Rashi says that, Afil Bechor Nami, Yikra V'yochal. The Rashi also goes to the Gemara in Megillah, and the Rashi says that even without a Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be offering the Bechor, and you're going to be eating the Bechor even without a Beis HaMikdash. Now, there are, again, not such subtle points to bring up, meaning you don't have a Mizbeach, where you're going to be sprinkling the blood. Maybe you set up a makeshift mizbeach. I understand. There's obvious technical points to raise over here. But at least in principle, if you hold kedusha rishon to kishlas shayis and kishlas lavo, so then you can bring the bechor even nowadays as well. Any kitzav kedusha rishon to kishlas shayis v'lo kishlas lavo, afila bechor namiti bayi. And if the kedusha does not perpetuate, so as much as this is a question regarding maaser sheni, it's also a question regarding bechor. Now, I know that sounds strange. Meaning, what is the Gemara right now entertaining? This idea that once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, that's it. Kedusha, gone. Kedusha's gone. So let's say now I have some leftover Bechor. The case is unlikely, I know. But just, you know, stay with me. In other words, I shechted the Bechor immediately prior to Chorban HaBayis. And then, after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, I still have some Bechor left over. You have 2 days to eat the Bechor. So I have some Bechor left over. So the Gemara now is saying, look, you're asking me a question about Maaser Sheni,
and you thought, well, let's compare it to Bechor. Well, what do you mean? Whatever the conclusion would be regarding Ma'aser Sheni, it'd be the same conclusion regarding Bechor, because vis-a-vis Bechor, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. So ask the same question regarding Bechor. And it's assuming you hold that the Kedusha does not perpetuate. So the Gemara says, our starting point, our launching point for this discussion is going to be where we're assuming the Kedusha does not perpetuate. Does not. So the Gemara says, and like I just described, the case is where you shechted the Bechor right immediately prior to Chorban Abayis, and we did the Zvika Saddam prior to Chorban Abayis, and then the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and we're left over now with the meat. So when it comes to Bechor, I know what the answer is. Can I eat the meat? The answer is unequivocally no. You can't. Why? Just like you need the mizbech for the dam, you also need the mizbech to eat the basar as well. Fine. The Gemara says, so that's why by Bechor I didn't have any questions whatsoever. And now, where do we go with this information? Mekesh ma'isel Bechor. So now, with the hekesh that we learned at the end of the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, so now we know to make one more jump. Just like for the dam, I need the mizbech. For the basar of the Bechor, I need the Mizbeach. Now that Pasuk and Re'eh that we quoted earlier this morning tells me that I'm going to make one more leapfrog and I'm going to go to Ma'aser Sheni, which also needs the Mizbeach. So Gemara says, V'chi davar alamin behekesh, chozim alamin behekesh, our second kashim halacha that we're learning today. And that is as follows. When we're discussing kashim, so I can't make a double drasha. You can't leapfrog twice by kashim. In other areas of halacha, You could leapfrog twice. Right? You could leapfrog twice. I'll give you a simple example that comes up all the time. Making a minyan. Making a minyan is based on a double gzera shava. In other words, it's from point A to B, from point B to C. Okay. So so in other areas of halacha, we have the ability, we have the right to make a double limud. When it comes to kachim, we are capped only at one limud. So you can't make a double jump. So over here, we're going from Dam to Basa, and then from Basa to Ma'aser Sheni, and the Gemara says, well, you're violating the rule of making a double jump when it comes to Kachim. And the Gemara asks exactly that question. V'chi davar lamed behekesh, chozim lamed behekesh. So the Gemara says, Ma'aser dagan chulin hu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but look where we're going to. We're learning from Bechor, and we're learning to Ma'aser Sheni. Ma'aser Sheni is not carbon. It's not Kachim. So therefore, since the conclusion of this limud brings us to Ma'aser Sheni, we're not... It does not offend the rule of double jumping. So the Gemara says, "Hanich laman da'amar." We're now in the very top of your testament base. Hanich laman da'amar basar lamed azlin and ela basar elaman da'amar basar mila made azlin and ma'ikal amemar. Gemara says, "Yeah, but even here, this rule of double jumping is it a question of where we're ending, or is it the middle that is serving as a springboard? So if it's a question of the conclusion over here, the conclusion is ma'aser sheni, we're good." Because Ma'aser Sheni is not kachim. But if it's a question of that middle jump, where you, in other words, the point between A and C, that B point, if that's the problem over here, we went from Dam of the Bechor to the Basar of the Bechor. That's clearly kachim. And then you can't jump from there to your next step. So the Gemara says, if that's the parameter of not double jumping, so then we have a problem. So the Gemara says we can resolve that by simply saying that the Dam Bechor and Basar Bechor are not jumps, meaning Dam and Basar are coming from the same animal. Granted, the Dam is going on the Mizbeach. The Basar is eaten by the Kohanim. True, but still, Dam and Basar are one entity that's considered one point, and from there we're going to Ma'aser Sheni. So we're not offending the rule of the double jumping by Kachim. Okay, where did all this bring us? This was all a long run-on sentence, all because in the Braisa we thought that we can conclude that Kriya is not Ma'akeh, because when the Braisa was making its arguments from Bikurim to Ma'aser Sheni, the Braisa said, oh, Bikurim, you know, you have Anacha, you don't have Kriya. Or at least it didn't mention Kriya. So the Gemara thought to make a big deal that the Braisa didn't mention Kriya, but the Gemara in the course of this discussion said, no, it's not a big deal. Meaning, the only reason why Kriya wasn't mentioned is because not everyone does Kriya. Okay. So left now, after And basically, in Amud of Gemara, the question of what is essential regarding Bikurim, so is the Kriya essential? We now know that's a machlok. It's a machlok between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon says it is essential, the Chachamim say it's not. What about the Hanacha? Is that essential? So that too is a machlokas, meaning that's a machlokas we saw on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis where we started this morning. Rabbi Yehuda says it is not essential, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it is essential. Okay, so two questions, and Rav Sheshit in conclusion says that I'm not talking the halacha, I'm saying his conclusion is that the Hanacha is ma'akev, but the Kriya is not ma'akev. Okay. Continuing now in the Gemara, we're on Daf Yitzchak Beis. We're at the two dots towards the top of the Amud, third line down, end of the line. Karche Kedoshim V'chule. In the Mishnah, it talked about, in the Mishnah back on Yud Zion, it talked about Meiser Sheni, that if you eat it, outside of Yerushalayim, you're going to be subject to Malkus. Fine. In other words, because you're not allowed to. Problem is, it's not a problem, meaning that's a halacha. The Gemara's problem is that this was already mentioned in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel. Okay, so if you don't remember the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel, so just speaks to the idea that you and I need to chazer a lot more. So the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel already told us that Meiser Sheni that was not redeemed and you eat it, so meaning you ate it outside Yerushalayim, you're going to be subject to Malkus. So this idea that Meiser Sheni being eaten outside of Yerushalayim is a law in the Torah, subject to Malkus, is now mentioned here in the third parak of Makos twice. Once on the Mishnah on Yud Gimel, and a second time in the Mishnah on Yud Zion, the Mishnah that we're dealing with right now. So that serves as a problem. And the Gemara notes that. Kachi Kedoshim V'chulei Tanina Chadazimna. Maiser Sheni V'Hekdesh Shelo Niftu. So what is the Mishnah is doing, telling us the same halacha two times over? In the same Masechta, in the same parak, like it's redundant, obviously. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Sefer, by Meister Shinitar, Vigavra Torah. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. This most recent Mishnah that we learned, the one on Daf Yud Zion, so that's talking about where the Meister Shini checks, the person checks, they're both in the state of Tahara, and Dika'achu Chutz L'choma. And what the person did is he ate it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay, so for that, now he's slapped with an Isser in the Torah, and pun intended, he's also going to get slapped, meaning that's going to be subject to Malkus, and that's what our Mishnah is describing. Reisha, however, the Mishnah back on Yud Gimel, b'maiser sheni tamei v'gavri tamei. So the Gemara says we're talking about where the maiser sheni was tamei, the person was tamei, and he's eating it in Yerushalayim. So in other words, the location's great. He gets a check for location. Problem, of course, is you can't do that. Meaning you must eat maiser sheni in a state of tahara. You have to be tar, and the maiser sheni needs to be tar. V'ka'achalei b'Yerushalayim. And that, so now, the two Mishnahs were reflecting two different problems. Our Mishnah Yad Daf Yud Zion is the problem of location. Meister Sheni checks out, you check out. You ate in the wrong place. The Mishnah on Yud Gimel, the problem over there is status of either you or the Meister Sheni. Location checks. You're in Yerushalayim. It's just that either you or the Meister Sheni is tummy. Uminale de Mechayev Alamishim Tama de Tanya. So come on here, quotes the Brisa. Meaning that this price is going to establish the fact that it is an Isser Lav in the Torah not to eat Meister Sheni in the state of Tumah. At the end of the third and sixth year of the Meister schedule, so you have something called Vidui Meister, meaning in the beginning of Parshas Kisava, the Torah says that what you need to do is make an accounting, a reckoning at the end of the third and sixth year. And why are those the accounting points? Because the end of the third year ends a cycle. Meaning in years one and two, you're bringing Truma, Meiser, Risha, Meiser, Sheni. In year three, you're bringing Meiser, Ani. And so now at the end of the third year, full accounting. And you have to say, I did everything right. And parenthetically, you don't have to just say that you did everything right. You had to have done everything right, meaning that you have to have properly tithed. And then you have what's called Vidu and Meiser. In the Vidu and Meiser, it says, Lo biarti mimena batame. I didn't eat it, meaning Meiser Sheni, while I was in the state of Tumah. Oh. So in other words, Bein Shani Tameh V'Hitar, Bein Shani Tar V'Utameh. So it doesn't matter which side is Tameh, meaning if the person who's eating it is Tameh, or if the actual Meiser Sheni itself is Tameh. If either of those are Tameh, the person eating it is violating the Isser in the Torah.
Does that actually walking into the Beit HaMikdash?
Well, not
declaration for Masa
Shem. Oh, I don't think so. Not that I know of. So whether it's whether you're tamei or the Maaser Sheni is tamei, so you're violating a lav. Veheichan muzar al achila eni yodea. Now Rabbi Shimon makes an admission, meaning okay, so I know it's wrong. Because in the vidui Maaser, so part of your admission, your vidui admission over here, meaning you're admitting that you did the right thing. So part of your admission is that I didn't eat in a state of tumah. So clearly, eating in a state of tumah is wrong. Because you're confessing. Confession over here, not the best word, because it's right, your declaration better. So your declaration over here is saying I didn't do it, meaning that you're not allowed to do it. Where in the Torah says you're not allowed to do it? So Rabbi Shimon makes an admission, a full admission, Eini Odea. Rabbi Shimon says, I don't know. Now, the Gemara steps in front of this Braisa to make the following observation. Tumas a good magic sieve. Now, if the person himself is Tameh, that is a clear pasuk. The Torah says, Nefesh asher tikabo v'tama ad ha'erev lo yachol min hakadoshim. So the pasuk says that if a person becomes Tameh, so he's not allowed to eat kachim. Now, not here, not now, but we know this pasuk is talking about Maaser Sheni. For our purposes right now, accept what I'm saying, you don't have to accept it, but it's talking about Maaser Sheni. The Torah clearly outlines that a person's not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni while he is in a state of tumah. But what really Rabbi Shimon was saying, I don't know, is I don't know where the source is that if the Maaser Sheni is tumah and you're tahor, that you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara now, and I'm not sure if this is a continuation of the Braisa or this is the Gemara filling in the blank, but either way, the Gemara tells us this is where it comes from. Lo suchal lechol b'sha'arecha. Ulahalan omer b'sha'arecha tochlenu atame v'ator. So you can eat it in your gate, and then there's another pasuk saying tame tor can eat it together. Tame tor can eat what together? Tame tor can eat together a bechor that's a bamum. Remember, a bechor it has to be offered on the mizbeach, but we'll be spending a masechta talking about this. Now, that's not the whole masechta, but if the Bechor develops a physical blemish, a permanent physical blemish, so now the Bechor does not need to be offered on the Mizbech, and it's not redeemed. What do you do with the Bechor Balmum? You eat it. And when you eat the Bechor Balmum, it's not a carbon anymore. Now granted, it's a little bit confusing because you can't do Giza Vavoda. You can't shear the animal, you can't work the animal. But you eat the animal. Who eats the animal? The Torah says, HaTameh V'Ator Yachdav. That you can have somebody Tameh and Tameh Tahor eating the Bechor Balmum. V'tanya debate Rabbi Shmala, afilo tamei v'tahor, ochlim bekara achas vein choshishin. Now, you can have two people eating the Bechor Balmum, same plate. Obviously, when the tamei person touches the Bechor Balmum, you know what's going to happen? It's going to become tamei. Not a problem. Meaning a Bechor Balmum is not a carbon, and therefore it can be eaten in a state of tumah. Now, once we know that, so now we're just going to go back to the previous pasuk. V'kama rachmana, hech tamei d'shari lach gabi tahor, hasam, Hacha lo techel. What I allowed by Bechor Balmum, which means that when the Bechor Balmum becomes Tameh, you're allowed to eat it. So contrast that to now Maaser Sheni, when the Maaser Sheni becomes Tameh, you're not allowed to eat it. A special heter is given to Bechor Balmum, but not extended to Maaser Sheni. Now, admittedly, it's a little bit tricky, but that's the source in the Torah that tells us that a Maaser Sheni Tameh, you're not allowed to eat it. So, let's think this through now. So we've just established that if you're Tameh and the Maaser Sheni is not, you can't eat it. It's a lav in the Torah. If you're Tameh and the Maaser Sheni is Tameh, you also can't eat it. Lav in the Torah. What do you do with the Maaser Sheni that becomes Tameh? The answer is very simple. Redeem it. Now, you redeem it, as we're going to learn together, even if it's in Yerushalayim, meaning you can't eat it. So if you can't eat Maaser Sheni, you have a chance of redemption. Ominale debar pedia hu damer Rebbe Lazar. Minayin leMaaser Sheni shenit mashaponoso afilu b'Yerushalayim. So the Maaser Sheni becomes Tameh, you redeem it, and even if it entered into Yerushalayim, we know that if the Maaser Sheni is not Tameh, and it's good Maaser Sheni, Tameh Maaser Sheni that makes it into Yerushalayim, so you have to eat it. And now that you have to eat it, furthermore, you can't take it outside of Yerushalayim anymore. Meaning that's the halach of Klita, which we discussed before, and we're about to discuss right now. So, but once it becomes Tameh, you redeem it. The Torah says that you were not allowed to say so, you couldn't eat it. The word se'es sometimes means to carry. In this context, it means to eat. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk, stringing that point together. Okay. So what do we have right now? We have just established that. When it comes to Maaser Sheni, we have two Mishnayos, the Mishnah Yud Gimel and the Mishnah Yud Zayin, that say that if you eat Maaser Sheni when you can't eat Maaser Sheni, you're subject to Malkus. The two Mishnayos are reflecting two different halachas. The Mishnah Yud Zayin is talking about eating it in the wrong location, meaning i.e. outside of Yerushalayim, meaning everything's Tahor, but you ate in the wrong location, that's a lav in the Torah, that's subject to Malkus. The Mishnah Yud Gimel is where the Maaser Sheni made its way into Yerushalayim, but either you or it are Tameh, you ate it, you're also going to be subject to Malkus as well. And again, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to, if it becomes tummy, you redeem it. Now, what if the Maaser Sheni didn't make it into Yerushalayim and you're one step away from Yerushalayim? You still have a chance of redemption. Meaning redemption is not necessarily a function of I'm too far away. Even if you're not too far away, you're one step outside Yerushalayim, you still have a chance to redeem it. Again, I know I made this point already. Once you entered Yerushalayim with the Maaser Sheni, so that's it. Now you have to eat it. Then it becomes unredeemable, unless it becomes tummy. Shenemar kilosu chal se'iso. So the Gemara says, and I know that because it says that you're not allowed to eat it. Losu chal se'iso. Meaning as long as you're not allowed to eat it, it's redeemable. One step outside of Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat it. Therefore, it's redeemable. So ha'imi ba'ilei l'chad Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says, yeah, but we need that pasuk for another halacha. So in other words, notably the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, meaning that if it enters in Yerushalayim and it becomes Tameh, so therefore I'm allowed to redeem it. So imkein lemakro lo suchal le'ochlo, my se'eso. So the Gemara says, well, no, I know the second halacha because instead of electing to use the word ochel, the Torah says the word se'es. And so that gives me the idea, the sense that as long as you're outside of Yerushalayim, you can redeem it. Maybe the pasuk is just telling me the second halacha, not the first halacha. Again, by virtue of the fact that the Torah does not use the word litlo, but rather uses the word seiso, it allows me to darshan both halachas. One is that as long as we're anywhere outside Yerushalayim and we haven't brought it yet into Yerushalayim, it is redeemable. Two is that if it makes its way into Yerushalayim, becomes tameh, it's redeemable. Yes, Rabbi Chanin of Rabbi Yoshia, becoming by Leah Pischa Yerushalayim, Mahu, Mahu. So, what if you're in the entrance of Yerushalayim? So, Pshita Hub, I'm sorry. Apischa Yerushalayim. The question was asked at the entrance of Yerushalayim. So, Pshita Hubachutz Umaso Bifnim Kato Mechitzas. Let's say you are bringing your Maaser Sheni into Yerushalayim. You have it as you have it on your shoulder, but not directly over you, but in front of you. Okay, it's right like on a little pole, but it's in other words. But you're carrying it, and let's say it goes into your Yerushalayim before you do. So the Gemara says it's obvious that as long as it has entered into your Yerushalayim, so now that's it. Niklat, in other words, it's now officially absorbed in your Yerushalayim, and therefore you have to eat it. It's unredeemable. Hu bifnim amaso bechutz mahu. Let's flip it around. Let's have the Maaser Sheni behind you. You're carrying it on your shoulder, like let's say in a backpack. You step foot into Yerushalayim. You're now physically in Yerushalayim, but the Maaser Sheni is not yet in Yerushalayim. What's the halacha then? Tanalu ha'u saba b'debe Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai ki yirchak mimcha makom mi milu echa. So when the place is far away from you, meaning as long as you entered into Yerushalayim, so that's considered as if the Maaser Sheni entered as well, meaning that the Maaser Sheni, even though it physically is not interior, it's considered interior as long as you're shouldering it. Vayra Papa Nakile Bikanya Mai. Gemara advances this discussion one step further. Let's say you're not shouldering the Maaser Sheni, but you're simply just dragging it on a stick. Okay, not the greatest visualization, but basically it's not being carried by you, but you're dragging it. And now it's behind you. You entered into Yerushalayim. It's still behind you. Is that considered now that the Maaser Sheni has entered Yerushalayim? Teku, the Gemara leaves this last question unresolved. Okay, let's quickly recap today's daf. We started off the morning with a continuation of yesterday's discussion. What is an essential component of Bikurim? Is it the Kriya? Is it the Hanacha? So, once again, the Gemara debated this. It's a Machlokas Tanayim on both points. A Machlokas Tanayim whether Kriya is essential or non-essential. It's a Machlokas Tanayim whether Hanacha is essential or not essential. The Gemara, on basically all of Yud Tesamen Aleph, used a Braisa as a launching point to perhaps conclude that the Kriya is not essential. The Braisa was comparing Bikurim to Maaser Sheni. The Gemara says the comparison is no good because by Bikurim we have Hanacha, but by Maaser Sheni, obviously there is no Hanacha. So the Gemara says, you know, the Braisa didn't mention Kriya. It must be that Kriya is not essential. But then the Gemara deflected. The Gemara says that the proof is not a good proof. There could be other reasons why it is that Kriya is not mentioned. And then the Gemara, and that was almost the entirety of Yud Tes Amud Aleph, and on Yud Tes Amud Beis, so we dealt with the problem of Maaser Sheni being eaten in an incorrect manner is subject to Malkus. The Mishnayos and Malkus mention it twice. Once in the Mishnah Yud Gimel, and the second time in the Mishnah Yud Zayin. Why mention it twice? Then the Gemara says, because it's talking about, the Mishnah Yud Zayin is talking about a failure of location. You were not in Yerushalayim. And the Mishnah Yud Gimel is talking about a failure of Tuma. Either you or the Maaser Sheni is Tame, under both circumstances, under either circumstance, is someone's going to be subject to Malkus for eating them. And then the Gemara just simply quoted the sources of where this is so. And finally, the conclusion of the daf today dealt with the question of when you're entering into your Yerushalayim and the Maaser Sheni is either in front of you or behind you or being carried on a stick, what would be the status of the Maaser Sheni?